We'll take out the second APC. The one with the crew hanging on the outside.
Won't they be able to see us coming?
They can see about as well as we can. The condensation layer screws up all their automated sensors and the comm systems, too. We've got only one chance at this, so don't screw up.
Invisible in the fog, Dam caught Ryan's right hand, turned it palm up, and firmly put a pair of flat 2-inch diameter discs into it.
They're slap charges, but simple to use. The material has an adhesive surface that only sticks to a battlesuit. The discs work no matter which side comes in contact with the target. The side that sticks is the side that kicks. All you've got to do is slap that puppy between the shoulder blades of a guy in a battlesuit and throw him off the APC. You got two to deal with, I got two to deal with.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. After 6 seconds, you might want to duck.
What about me?
Go through the APC's rear doors and make yourself useful inside.
How many men are in there?
He had to speak up in order to be heard. The clanking noise was really getting loud. He could feel the concrete shuddering through the soles of his boots.
Could be three. Could be as many as six. The important thing to remember is, we've got to be done and in control of the situation before the APC comes out on the other side of the fog. Otherwise, that bastard in the lead will find out what's up, and he'll be able to block our only way out.
The track and engine noise peaked in volume. Ryan thought he could see a faint moving glow in the middle of the tunnel, perhaps from headlights. Perhaps it was just his imagination. There was no question in his mind that he had to throw in with Nara and Dam. They had saved his life twice in the past 5 minutes. And from the looks of things, they were about to do it a third time. Not 10 feet from the wall against which Ryan stood pressed, the first APC lumbered past, a phantom in the fog. When the moment came, he was going to have to find the second one by touch. When he'd last seen them, the men in battlesuits were standing on the long, flat fenders that stretched the length of the WAG and covered the tops of each of the twin tracks. As the lead APC moved on up the ramp and the second vehicle entered the mist, Ryan heard Dam's hoarse whisper to Nara through the wall of white.
Buy or die.
Ryan remembered seeing the same words tattooed on the now-dead female Mercy's forearm. A war cry, he thought. For his own part, Ryan was tired of being pushed around, held prisoner, chased, poisoned, and threatened with horrible death. It was time for more than a return of threats. It was time for a little serious payback. Ryan put one of the flat discs between his teeth. The other he held ready in his left hand. As the clanking rumble peaked, Dam gave Ryan a shove toward the middle of the tunnel. Right hand outstretched like a blind man, Ryan lunged into the cottony mist. His fingertips brushed a hard, greasy surface. Above him, he could make out the dimmest of black shapes gliding past him. He stopped and let the edge of the APC's fender slide under his hand, keeping his palm in contact with it until the fender curved away and bent around the back of the vehicle. Blinking the moisture out of his eye, Ryan saw a black boot about 8 inches from the tip of his nose. He lunged up and grabbed. His fingers slipped over the smooth armor plates, then dug in under the edge of a belt or harness. With a mighty heave, he jerked the stunned man off his perch and crashed him down hard on the concrete. Ryan maintained hand contact until after he'd stuck the charge in the middle of the man's back. Then he turned and ran through the fog for the rear of the APC. From the other side of the tunnel, there came another crash. Two down, Ryan thought, as his outstretched hand touched something flat and solid, something decorated with rows of rivet heads. His searching fingers found a handhold on the frame beside the right rear door. Grabbing it, he pulled himself onto the fender and stood. He leaned forward, looking for the shape of a helmet, but seeing only more vague shadows of black mixed with a swirling mist. Twin explosions came from behind, one after the other, muffled and sloppy wet. The shadow he was staring at moved slightly to the right. Ryan jerked back involuntarily, not having expected to come nose to nose with the enemy. Recovering at once, he snap-kicked the man's outside shoulder, feeling the solid impact, then the give under his boot sole. As the man turned, Ryan hurled himself on his back and drove him face down on the fender. He took the shaped charge from between his teeth, slapped it in place, and rolled the man off the fender and into the mist. Ryan didn't see him hit the concrete, but he heard the clatter. Seconds passed. Then two more explosions rattled off in quick succession, again muffled and wet. There were no flashes in the mist behind, but Ryan felt the wind as fragments whistled by. The APC suddenly swerved under him, and he had to hang on or be thrown clear. It was hard to tell for sure in the fog, but the WAG seemed to be angling for the left-hand wall. As Ryan reached the rear doors, they banged back, and he got the briefest glimpse of a black figure hurtling out of the compartment, over the bumper, and onto the ramp. As he piled into the APC, there was another explosion from behind, and a spray of shrapnel peppered the outside of the doors. Inside the WAG, the fog wasn't nearly so dense. He could see Nara struggling with the black-helmeted man half again her size. She had him face down on the floorboards of the passenger compartment, with an arm pinned behind his back. He was kicking and thrashing his free arm. If he was yelling inside the helmet, Ryan couldn't hear him over the clanking of the tracks. In the front, the driver was looking over the back of his seat, steering with one hand, likely torn between trying to race the WAG out of the fog and abandoning the steering wheel to help his weapons system engineer before it was too late. Dam reached in between Nara and the guy she was holding down and affixed the anti-personnel mine. He jerked the man toward the rear doors.
Get the driver!
The one-eyed man rushed through the passenger compartment and wrenched the driver clear of his seat. As he dragged the man backward, Nara slipped behind the wheel and eased off the speed. Dam pushed Ryan aside and lifted the man in black armor to his feet. In the helmet, the driver was 2 inches taller than the scar-faced merc.
Please don't kill me! I never did anything to you!
Dam, we're coming out of the mist! I can't hang back here much longer, or it'll look suspicious. It's too late to frag the guy.
Let's see your face, you cowardly TAC unit bastard.
The helmet cleared, revealing a pale-faced man with a buzz cut.
You did bad things to my crew back there.
That was orders! I was just following orders!
The sheath knife came away from Dam's harness in a blur almost too fast to follow. The Mercy slid the double-edged point in under the third breastplate from the top. Fighting frantically, the driver tried to pummel Dam as he searched and probed beneath the plate with the knife tip. The Mercy didn't seem to mind the full-force blows he was receiving to the face and head. If he did, he didn't show it. He kept searching until he found what he had been looking for, a weak spot beneath the plate. The driver stiffened as the gleaming blade slipped into him about an inch and a half.
They were all good fighters. The kind a man wants at his back. Hard to find a crew like that these days.
He pulled the driver closer to him.
They died without begging anybody for mercy. There was no begging in them.
Please! No!
Time to pay the piper.
Dam pressed his nose against the outside of the helmet and snarled into the man's face.
And I am the fucking piper!
With a scraping sound, the long knife slid into the hilt. Dam held the man skewered until the kicking stopped. Then he let the heavy battlesuit crash to the deck. He put his boot on the breastplate and wrenched his knife free. Ryan noted the location of the entry wound for future reference. He figured there had to be a small opening or an unprotected area beneath the overlapping plates. Ahead of them, the fog thinned, then parted. They could see the back end of the other APC as it clanked up the ramp, which was now dry. The air temperature took a big drop, so much so that it made Ryan shiver.
Uh-oh. I got a blinking light on the comm unit control panel. Our compadre up there is trying to hail us, probably wondering why none of the suits in this can are responding.
Let him wonder a while longer.
As Major Lujan's APC lumbered toward the wall of mist, his weapons system engineer turned to him.
Sir, shall I saturate the area with cannon fire? I can program the batteries to scrape them off the walls.
The idea was appealing, but impossible for Lujan to authorize. Even the lowest power laser pulses wouldn't stop at the intended targets. They would take out anything between the APC and the mouth of the ramp, and then continue on to blow a few more holes in Gloomtown. There was nothing to be gained by stirring up the mob.
Forget the cannons. If they're in the fog, we'll flush them out.
Then he passed on the no-fire order to the driver of the APC bringing up the rear. It was the last communication between the two vehicles before Lujan entered the condensation layer. The moment the mist closed in around him, except for the interior and exterior lights, which weren't computer-controlled, all of his electronic systems promptly crashed. Navigation, surveillance, weapons, everything went stone dead. He held the steering wheel steady in his hands, trying to keep the vehicle on a straight course. The width of the fog barrier varied from minute to minute. and there was no way to tell how long they were going to have to drive blind. The longer they traveled, the more likely they were to gradually veer off course. At any moment, the side of the APC could start grinding against